Hi, it's Elise.
And this is Hannah.
And this is episode 11 of Love Her, Leave Her Wild.
Woohoo!
That's a good one. I liked
it. Thank you. I have ice cream tonight.
I give it an 8.
Wow, okay.
I'm waiting for your 10.
I'll get there.
I would hope so. I need the enthusiasm.
Maybe on our 100th episode.
I gotta wait for 100 episodes give me a 10. God. The work ethic.
You're the only 10 I see.
Yeah, hell yeah, I am. Ooh. Okay, so Hannah, why don't you talk to us about today's episode?
Oi. Well, if you follow me on Instagram, I did a thing after listening to some podcasts revolving, you know, the church and purity culture. And just a very toxic sex environment that I was brought up in. And I had actually was sitting on a plane to fly out here. And the guy next to me just made me feel really uncomfortable. And I hadn't felt this uncomfortable in a while. And I instantly started feeling like, were the leggings that I was wearing just like too provocative, because they had this like mesh on them. They were kind of look like fish stockings, maybe. I don't know. So I got like really in my head on top of the fact that I was flying out here for a funeral and all the other things that were going on. And yeah, just kind of got fucked in the head. And so I put on this podcast and I was like, you know, this has got to be a thing that other people are feeling, the shame of, which we'll get into. So I checked my Instagram story and I posted some stuff. And I wanted to read a few messages that I got in response to just the upbringing I was brought into under the church and purity culture and shaming women to be in sex and blah, blah, blah. So the overall consensus was that these Christian women have been raised to abstain, and now they're married. And they're having a really difficult time with their husband and their sex life. And it's become an issue. And no one really talks about it because you can't talk about sex in church. And we'll get into that. I got this message that she responded to my story. And she said, I'm not going to name names, but she said, this caused so many issues when I first got married. If my husband didn't want sex 24/7, I thought I was undesirable. He, also growing up at the church, never initiated because he didn't want to be that guy. And sometimes I wanted sex and he doesn't. What a shock. He also hates that the church makes it seem like guys are just a slave to their sexual urges. He can't walk past a Victoria's Secret model advertisement and not shield his eyes because he's supposed to be some sexual pig, but this isn't true in our case. A lot of messages like this. Another girl, she responded and said, as a Calvary Chapel Bible College student and Calvary Chapel church attender from birth to 24, I support this message. My husband and I specifically got married at 20 because we just had to get married to have sex. Now we're 26 and 27, telling all of our youth students not to get married young. I can't wait to hear this podcast because I'm so overthinking that the purity culture we grew up in wasn't damaging. It's caused so much real trauma. So if you can't tell by these messages, we're talking about purity culture and just church and sex and shame and kind of the abuse and trauma that that's caused. In a healthy marriage and how it's also caused very unhealthy marriages. And we have two guests. We have Kate and Kay. So we have two Ks with us. Yeah.
Strongly believe that purity culture is bullshit. So yeah. Here we are. I don't believe in it. I wasn't raised in a church. I should say I wasn't raised in a church. I am a non-practicing Jew. We weren't very religious at home. Oh, wait, I did forget to say, this is a special podcast because you and I are in the same city, in the same house. So almost forgot about that part. But we weren't very religious and, so yeah, purity culture is bullshit. So that's all I'm going to say for now. And I'll jump in when something, inspires me to jump in.
Okay. And first we have Kate. Would you like to introduce yourself and just a little background of you and your experience with the church?
Yeah. So I'm 28 years old and I grew up in a Assembly of God church in Washington State and in a small town. And I don't think the Assembly of God denomination explicitly has like massively patriarchal views, but they're very implied. So purity culture was huge, grew up in youth group. But the influences of my perceptions of sex just as much came from my parents as they did from the church. My parents, by the time I was in high school, they were my youth group leaders, my Sunday school teachers, and then my parents. And I was the youngest, and so my siblings were out of the house. Dating was just absolutely off the table in high school. Like, there was no reason for it. Ironically, my mom was 16 when she met my dad, and he was 20. And they got married, and she was 18, and he was 22. So none of that ever lined up. Yeah, eventually, like, getting through college and navigating dating relationships, I didn't do it perfectly, and I had this mass amount of shame. But I still super, super clung on to like the purity message. Like, I want to be pure for my spouse because that makes me more valuable to him. So eventually I found my husband. He's an awesome guy. And we got married quite quick. We only dated for 7 months. And right from the beginning, sex was just difficult. He knew I had weird perceptions. He couldn't put his finger on what it was exactly. I think by definition had a sexless marriage for 4 years. Because it was uncomfortable emotionally. I don't know. Where did I read? I think like if you have sex less than 20 times a year, they count that as a sexless marriage. I'm pretty sure like one of the years I was pregnant, we had sex like 5 times the whole year.
You're saying the church told you that?
I read it in a book somewhere.
Probably
what defines a sexless marriage. Yeah, it definitely was Christian literature. I should try to find that. Who said that? So I was super, super insecure about like our frequency. I thought something was wrong with me because we are told that our husbands are just, you know, drooling at the mouth and like sex is what brings your husband home at night. And my husband wasn't like doing that. And I think I just kind of killed his libido by trying to figure out what like his fantasy was and be it because I was looking for that security. So where we're at now is this year has just been super healing. I found some really good materials. I think what set it off for me to like start this journey and where I could finally say like, okay, the church is what screwed up my perception was I was at a women's retreat. So I was going to a Southern Baptist church here in Texas where we live right now. The women were like talking about how, oh yeah, their husband just needs sex. I mean, the things that were said, there's 10 of us there. My husband needs sex like food. My husband gets grumpy if we don't have sex. We cannot fix a disagreement until we have sex because he's not in a good place to discuss that. And all the women are just agreeing. And I was like, if he does the dishes for you, that's a way that he can serve you. Then you can serve him with sex, which sucks because I don't want to serve my husband with sex. I want to enjoy it too. But my husband knew, like I did, as soon as he like wasn't pursuing me, I felt like this extra need to make it something I was good at. And then it got extra weird. So we just didn't have sex. And we had conversations like, this is weird. And it's so weird that it'll be better for our relationship if we don't have sex. And I'd be like, come on, come on, come on. Like, can we please just like, let's just do it. At one point I was talking to my neighbor about it, also a Christian woman. And she gave me a cat mask and she's like, here, maybe he'll like this. And I was like, if reflecting back on that, I'm like, I already had such a huge problem with objectifying myself for my husband.
Did you say a cat mask?
Yeah, she gave me like a cat mask.
I
had an anxiety attack when she gave it to me. I'm like, like it made me feel so horrible that maybe my husband would like me better if I put a cat mask on. But like that's like, what like this a Christian
pet, like a pet cat.
Like a cat like a woman mask.
Okay, cat woman. Okay. I just didn't know if you're like
no, whiskers, like, no.
Yeah, okay.
He's into bestiality. Did she give you the rest of the suit?
No, she's just like, here, maybe Josh will like this.
Where did she and get that like, from?
I don't know. Probably from her sex drawer. Like, I didn't even want to think about it. I threw it back at her. I was so mad. And so, yeah, I just,
I bet it had makeup on it.
It probably had semen on it. I'm just kidding.
God.
Semen.
Oh. Anyway, okay, so I had all these feelings about how purity culture screwed me up, and these messages we heard about sex were hurting my marriage, but I had nothing to affirm all these thoughts I was having. That's where we're at.
If you
at,
don't fall in line summary. With what they're teaching, and if you,
mm-hmm. yeah. That was the biggest red flag for me, that finally just was like the last nail in the coffin, was if there is no room for discussion here without you implying that I've been deceived, bye.
Yeah. I think it was 3 years ago for me when I started not agreeing with how I was feeling and what I was being taught, and slowly just stopped going. And then some other shit happened with my mom, and I'm just not evaluating it anymore. I'm done and doing my own searching and processing. And I don't know where I'll be in a few years with the church thing. Let me also start with this in the episode 2. Not all churches do this. It just so mm-hmm. happens to be that a lot of the women I'm talking to have had these same experiences and have religious trauma. I do think there are some churches out there that teach strictly Jesus and love and grace and forgiveness and all the things that don't religiously abuse you. So I guess we'll go into Kay, if you'd like to give a little background on you and your relationship with religion.
So I grew up Pentecostal holiness, not like wearing like skirts and tights and not like old school PH, but like the very charismatic, very upbeat music, swinging from the chandeliers. Like, they spoke in tongues at my church. No rattlesnakes though. Like, we didn't do that, but very charismatic.
Did you just say rattlesnakes?
Yeah. You know how they like show yeah. us on. Yeah.
That's a thing.
She knew. Yes.
Yeah. Like, you don't know about this?
Back in the place, like the, no. Well, they might still do it. I don't know. Yeah, like they test their faith with rattlesnakes or whatever. And this isn't what I do. Like, I swear, I don't know about
they
it.
Test their
I
faith?
Like,
wait.
Yeah, like they like play with snakes, and basically, the
like
more
if God
anointed
loves you,
the you are,
gonna bite
the
you?
Less. Basically, wow. But you've got to be anointed. Okay. Like, I couldn't be fucking with that rattlesnake right now. Like, I would die. So basically, okay. Like, they're very conservative. My church was very political. Like, the way that you guys talk about how the church talked about sex wasn't really how I was taught. With me, it was more of premarital sex is a sin. Like, they had a lot of focus on that, but I didn't carry that over into my marriage. That might just be me. There may be people from my church who do experience that, because premarital sex was a thing that was very, like, mm-hmm. we did talk about that a lot. I was actually a youth leader and I was a teacher for a group of middle school girls where the curriculum is already given to us. It was called like Missionettes is what it was called. And
yeah, I was a rainbow, a daisy, a friend.
This was the Friends Club. I was the teacher in the Friends Club.
Yeah.
So,
I was an honor star
when I was in high school, actually. So it was really weird because I had a boyfriend and I was having sex, and I felt like I needed to step down from that position because I was scared that I was gonna, if I died, I was gonna go to hell, because I was taught that teachers and pastors were held to a higher expectation. So basically, I really needed to walk the straight and narrow in order to get to heaven, or I'm gonna burn in hell forever. That's really crazy. Like, this is so crazy. But I moved away after I graduated college. So I was 21 when I left, and I really started questioning a lot of things in the church. It was really weird. It was a really weird time for me. It still is, actually. So like my first husband was a Presbyterian, his mom was very hyper religious. It was very bizarre. And at this time I was considered to have been backslidden. And anyone who listens to this podcast who knows me now would not believe the fact that I was a singer in a Christian band. Oh my, that's not funny. Do you want me to sing?
We need an example. Share a song.
Am I like, it's just so wild. Like, this is wild. Like, when I'm thinking about it all over again, it gets really weird. But so like, as I got older, I just pretty much questioned a lot of things, like just not so much God. Like, I am looking for a religious counselor, not so much because I'm questioning whether God exists, but just because I need to know, to me, God will always exist. I need God regardless. Like, it doesn't affect anyone with the God that I have in my mind, mm-hmm. but the God that I served back then did do harm to people because I would shame people and I judged them because that was what I was taught to do. My political beliefs were based off of my religion because religion was political then, like, and it still is very obviously. That is one thing that we have seen over the last year, is that religion is politics. And I think that's where a lot of my regret comes from, is that I feel very sheltered because of that. Because I'm a recovering Republican is what I call it. But so that's really the only thing that I can really say, because I'll call bullshit when I see it. And even at a young age, I was like, you know, I'm looking at this congregation of people and you talk about the person sitting beside you in a hateful way, or you're sleeping with this one's husband and like raising your hand in church and praising the Lord. So if you're going to sin, like I'm going to have a good sin too. Like, if we're going to all go to hell, it's going to be worth it. Like, I'm going to have sex. So let's just do it and move on. Like, so for me, sex was like my chosen sin. Like, everybody had their quote unquote stronghold. So that was going to be mine. Like, I'm just going to struggle with it. You know, like, I was so messed up. Like, it's not okay. But that was basically, so like, I grew up and grew out of church. Basically, my first marriage, he was a Christian, and now like, we got divorced because that was a whole different situation. But my husband now is a fantastic person. He is brilliant, and he is actually agnostic. So he has brought an entirely different perspective to me, because I can actually have this conversation with him and have a completely opposite, different, and very scientific but also logical explanation for what possibly, very possibly, could be the truth. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at.
And Elise, he's Elise. Just... yeah, there you go.
She explained it perfect to me. Like how she sees religion is exactly the way my husband sees it. Okay. Give us your testimony, Elise.
I am giving my testimony.
You're going to burn in hell for that.
Well, according to a lot of Christians, I'm already going to burn in hell. So why not go big or go home, baby?
Exactly.
That's what I've been doing. Just sprinting my thoughts on religion.
Like, your personal. Beliefs. Like, you didn't grow up in a church, but you still believe.
I still believe.
You should have sang in our band.
I know. I'm really mad.
Never gave us an example, Kaylin.
Listen, look, my sister played the drums in our band and she is a crackhead. No, like legit a fucking crackhead. And she's also, and she lives with her girlfriend right now.
And your mom thinks you're the sinner?
I had a black boyfriend, man.
Wow.
You must live in Indiana also.
I live in North Carolina.
Oh, I cut off Elise. Sorry, Elise. Go.
How I think of religion. Okay, so I was brought up to believe that Jesus was not God's son. There is no hell. But beyond that,
You'll meet your maker one day.
Yes, I will. But my own personal, I guess, thoughts about it are, you know, we live several lifetimes. So I believe in some kind of reincarnation, and that when you're done growing and learning, that you kind of, when you're done doing that, you kind of, there's like a collective home feeling and being and love, and you're just done and you go back home. And that's basically what it is. So I don't know what lifetime I'm on right now, but I'm learning a lot. I feel like I've had a few lifetimes under my belt, but I don't think I'm done. So that's what I think. But do I think that there's a God and Jesus and a Lucifer and Adam and Eve and all of the things? I do not. I'm sorry.
It's weird because I relate so much to both of them, because like it has come full circle for me. Like I was very hyper-religious, organized religion. And now I still believe in God because it's like a feel-good thing for me. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't affect anyone else in a negative way. But I also believe in reincarnation. Like maybe I'm just weird. My church did a really bad job. Okay. Because look at this heathen.
I think the cool consensus, you know, of all true. Of this, though, I mean, my church is probably not very happy. Well, I can't even claim it my church anymore. Anyways, the cool part of all of these stories is that I love every single one of you. And I don't think you are any less worthy or important or less of a human than anybody else.
But remember when we had that conversation on the way to do the photo shoot at the botanical gardens, and we were talking about religion, and you told me that your religion said, I'm going to hell.
You are.
Yeah. That's what my religion would tell you.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
You're not going to hell. Like, no, we're not.
So I live my life where, you know, I legitimately went to school to be a social worker to help people. And I still try to help people as much as possible, more than a lot of people know. I quietly help them. And that's just because I don't claim Jesus as my savior. I'm going to hell. That sounds fucked up.
Because the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions, is what I was taught. Dead ass, what I was taught.
No,
so I'm
sorry,
Elise,
least,
but
I think it's all over the Bible, Jesus pointing out to the religious people that the people who they've pinned as being bad people generally have more good in them
yeah.
than the religious people.
Yeah.
Jesus does it over and over and over again.
Yeah. I mean,
if I were to say, I mean, literally Elise's statement or experience just there was like, she went to school because she wanted to help people, and she continues to help people, and she doesn't talk about it. That's the heart and mind of Christ, the Christ I know. It's not what Christians do.
Not at all. Here's the other thing, though, about at least my faith, is that I am not God. So for me to sit here and tell you that I know the depths of your heart, and I know that in the moments that you're weak and broken and reaching out to something, that you're just damned to hell. Like, there's no way a person on this earth can know that about a human and their soul. Yes, you could quote the scripture of like, you'll know its fruit, or what is it? It's fruit from its labor. I don't even know. I'm fucking up scripture over here.
It definitely doesn't say flavor.
No, fruits of their labor.
Bears you'll the know, fruit.
Yeah, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll
something
know
like that.
Yeah.
I did not say flavor. I said
the
labor.
Juice is good, Hannah.
The juice is good.
Oh,
but I said labor. You will know them by the fruit of their labor, not flavor. I ain't tasting nobody's juices and flavors. Okay. All right. I know this
but
is a sex
should.
Podcast.
Like before you marry them, you should taste their fruit.
I'm.
What
yes,
about
let's
they bear
get into
bad
that,
fruit?
Because I wish I would have had a safe place to discuss sex if I was going to have it, and the type of sex that was going to be had, and been comfortable and not shamed to seek counsel in that before committing my life to a person, just to be able to have sex that is not shamed. And I would say the same thing to children. Go ahead.
So did you feel like you could only have, like, after you were married, did you feel like you could only have a certain kind of sex? Like, did it have to be like aligned with the Bible? Like, what kind of sex are Christians having?
Like
vanilla sex?
Like missionary sex?
Oh no.
Yep. That used to be a law, you guys. That used to be a law in like colonial times.
Yeah, it was actually illegal to have oral or anal sex in some places.
Yeah. Why are you laughing?
She said, oh, that's sad.
That's what I was thinking, like, wow.
Yeah, there's actually, you can Google it. It's like absurd laws in certain like states. And one of them is like a woman cannot drive her car down Main Street on a Sunday past 10 without a man waving a flag in front of her. I'm not even kidding you. I think it's in Kentucky somewhere. I can't really quote the state.
I have to jump in really quick. The anal sex thing, the sodomy, is just still a law because they're so anti-gay.
Who is?
Towns, churches. So when it's like no anal, that's no sodomy. You feel me?
In certain towns?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that basically means that being gay is illegal.
That's the way that they treat it. Like, and then, like, I remember our pastor, like, she's one of my friends, but she's a lesbian. And he would stand up in the pulpit and say, like, you can love the person, but hate the sin. And like, that was one of his that was a big message for him. And she's sitting there with her girlfriend, just listening, like, to how she's damned to hell.
They obviously have a huge issue with LGBTQ in our country. And when you make anal sex illegal, well, there you go.
I've had sex with a lot of Christians and none of them were doing it like that. Like, nobody was like, no, I didn't feel like anyone brought our religious teachings into our sexcapade.
Like, you got to have spicy sex?
Yeah. We just ignored it. Like, we didn't care.
There's some books out there that like are pretty
explicit.
They've come a long way in that area. They're like, okay, as long as it's between a husband and a wife, then, and everybody feels respected, then you're good to go. You know, so they make it a little less like controlled. So I feel like they've come at least a couple steps in, sorry, my phone just dinged, in like being less controlling and legalistic about it.
Why do they care? Like, why? Why are you so involved in what I'm doing in my bedroom? Like, why does it matter how I have sex, who I have sex with, like what I do after I have sex, if I get pregnant? Like, none of that really is any of your concern, Pastor.
Well, I think because they think that America is Christianity's brainchild. And if we can control the family structure in America, then we can maintain the brainchild we created. I feel like that's a church control issue. They want to control the country because they feel like it's theirs. God gave America to the church.
I hope every person that went to my church listens to every word that I said on this podcast.
Oh God. I feel like we need to make this like three parts. Okay. So
they're the worst.
Oh God. I'm going to read some of the things I've posted on my stories, kind of just to bring this back to a specific topic, and then we'll you know, spiderweb from there. I think the overall message, though, that we all kind of feel, those of us who grew up in the church, is that it's created a lot of self-hatred, doubt, lack of identity and self-worth, when really it all based off of the disapproval of Jesus. But Christianity is supposed to preach that your identity is in Jesus, but he loves you, but yet we're all sinners and he hates us for our sin. What my struggle is sex and purity becoming such a huge focus that your salvation is now contingent on your purity and your worth is now contingent on your purity. When kind of like what you just said, why are we focusing so much on what I'm doing in my bedroom when out of an act of consent, hopefully, and love or appreciation, and it's not a hated act that's like planned to do to destroy somebody. There's no malice in sex. And if there is, that's rape. So when you bring,
I just have sex because I want to, with who I want to, like when I want to. Yeah. I don't have to love them.
No,
I don't have to foresee them as my husband. Like this isn't a test drive,
but that's you're the way not the church,
wants it.
But what I'm trying to say is that like when you have sex with that person, it's not out of malice and ill intention to hurt them. You're just doing what you want and he's doing what he wants. And
because sometimes I have had like revenge sex. That's the thing too, you know, I feel like I'm in the wrong episode. No. I've been rebelling against Christianity for way too long. Okay. Yeah. Like, but that is a thing. Like,
yeah. I mean, hate sex is what they call it, right?
What was my intention?
Like to lead him on and then to break his heart, or like what
basically
was the intention?
Yeah, pretty much. But like, first of all, why is your heart even on the table at this point? Like it shouldn't be. There are a lot of lessons that should be learned when it comes to sex, I think. Like it just needs to be more relaxed. Like people need to chill out. Like, and I think all of that, sex is such a heavy subject because of religion. Like where else did that come from?
Exactly. But also sex is looked at differently in America.
Correct. Yeah. That is very true.
Who runs America?
This turned extremely political. We're like breaking down the foundations of America.
Religion and politics are very hand in hand.
Religion. I was just going to say, who runs America? Well, religion and politics.
Yeah.
So this is why.
America was founded on Christianity, even though it wasn't.
Right. It was. They came here so they can practice their own religion. And yet here we are. I mean, with a
pretty, I mean, you still have the freedom to practice whatever you want, though.
You do, but it's still Christian based.
And then people get like, oh my gosh, America's losing its Christian roots. It's like, well, then if you're worried about that, just why don't you love people? And then you can bring the roots back.
But there's no roots. That's what America was founded on, not to have like Christian roots. But here we are. And so because America is ruled by politics and religion, mostly the Christian religion, this is why sex is so like still almost taboo. We show way more violence in our media than we do sex. But if you look at other countries like Europe and everything else, they're way more sexual than violent.
That's kind of hilarious you say that, because okay, Hannah and Kay, did you guys grow up with like a lot of media rules? Like in our family, war
Harry
movies.
Harry Potter.
Oh, never seen it.
Okay, no. War movies were like absolute go. Violence, totally fine. But if there is any hint of sex in it, it was like, we are throwing this thing in the trash, which is kind of funny, at least saying that, just that like,
yeah,
we show more violence than sex because it's what Christianity allows. Violence was allowed in my home. Sex was not.
War creates peace.
Sex creates peace.
Sex creates peace?
Yeah.
I agree. Y'all. You're right. When you're fighting with your husband, you go have sex and things are good.
Yeah.
I got no notes for this shit.
I'm done. What do you have notes for, Hannah?
I don't know. My mind is blown. This is going nowhere.
Hannah doesn't know even know why we're here. Like she doesn't know if this is her first life, fourth life, 11th life. Like she doesn't know. Nobody knows. I feel like if you are a wise person, this is not your first life. It can't be. This is not Elise's first life. This is not my first life either. I'm like, really?
How long have we been recording? Can we start over?
It's just true.
As you literally just said, Kay, I have revenge sex.
Yeah. Sex creates peace, but that hate sex though.
Yeah, Hayes, there you go.
That would prevent sex.
Yeah, what do you know about that, Elise?
Hate sex?
How about you unmute your mic?
I just did.
Thank you.
Okay, what do you need? I don't have, I just was talking about religion.
We're going to talk about,
what? I was just talking about religion and politics ruling America, and that's why we look down on sex as a country.
What do you feel like
the whole country does, at least?
Yeah. Well,
really, what makes you say that, like, about the whole country versus just like the religious people of the country?
Well, it's because, like I said, the whole country is ruled, but I'm so sorry, Hannah.
We're highly, highly influenced by the religious.
I got nothing. You're good.
This is a nice conversation. We can totally just cut it off and move on, Hannah. What's your next question?
No, I don't. Y'all, I'm mind fucked.
So Marcus asked me today. This
is just a fun conversation at this point. I can't do anything with this, but it's fine.
He asked me, because I was just like, I can't believe this really fucking sucks, actually, because I feel like I invested so much in my religion and in my faith, and so much time and effort went into things that I practiced my whole life. And so many decisions that I made were actually impacted by my religion. And he was like, well, what did you miss out on because of your religion? And when you think about it, it's really fucked up, because if I were still practicing my old religion, he would not be my husband. You guys would not be my friends. Like, none of the things that I wouldn't have my daughter, because I wouldn't have my husband, because we're unequally yoked, because I was a Christian, a very extreme Christian, and he was agnostic. So we wouldn't have been allowed to be together. And I wasn't allowed to have friends outside of the church. Like, things like that. Like, when you really start thinking about what being a part of a very organized religion like that takes away from you, it gets a little bit, you really aren't happy anymore. It's like, what the fuck just happened to me? Like, my entire life. Like, I think that's when I would be like, how was I raised? Like, that would be when my questions would come up. Like, that's when I'm mad, because I feel like I'm being lied to my entire childhood because of so many things that I missed out on being in this almost cult, is what it feels like when you look back on it, when you're part of that woke culture, basically. You know, no, we don't love the Jesus who doesn't believe that Black Lives Matter. We don't love the Jesus who doesn't love the lesbians, or, you know, doesn't love the transgender community, like, doesn't love anybody other than white Christians who tithe 10% of their income every Sunday. Like, that's the only part that, like, Jesus really loves. That part is not okay. Oh, and that Jesus only loves Republicans because you can't be a Christian and vote to murder babies. Like,
right.
There's totally a lot of things that were taken away from you being in that religion. Like, at least looking in on this, like, do you see, like, what do you feel like you gained from not being raised in a religious cult or organized religion like we were?
It allowed me to be open-minded and accepting. And honestly, at this point, I can have a pretty great and open discussion with someone who believes differently than I do without being extreme. And I think that's important, because I like to hear what people have to say. You know, Hannah and I have discussions like that all the time.
Our views couldn't be really more different.
Yeah.
Those things.
Yeah. And that's one of the big things that is different about us is, you know, our religious views. And it allows me to be able to respect them and accept them for who you are.
Be like Jesus.
Well, Jesus was a Jew, so.
At least it is, like, sitting the prettiest of all of us, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, like, because Jesus would, one thing about Jesus was, is that he would sit with people who were deemed undesirable by the majority, which would be Christian people, and he would listen to their story. Or he would sit with the person who had leprosy, and he would do these things that Christians that I was raised with would never ever do. Like, there was a legitimate disclaimer with their welcome sign. All are welcome unless you're gay, unless you're not going to give us your money, unless you're not white, unless you like, unless you don't believe, unless you believe in a democratic political view, unless you believe in pro-choice, unless you believe in losing your virginity before you're married, like all of these things were, then you're no longer welcome here because everything that I'm going to preach is based against what you live.
Well, I like to think of religions at this point as corporations.
The MLM, hey.
They are. They're corporations. And it is. It's like MLM.
They are corporations.
Yeah.
Christianity is definitely a corporation in America. But if you look at Christianity in other countries, it does look a lot different.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's good.
I think I could find a legit church that like filled my soul and my heart in a different country. In a small little tiny, you know, town in Italy, probably, where like people just love you like Jesus loves you. And like the thing about Jesus was that he hung out with all those people, but his love was so intoxicating that they wanted him in their life. And like that was the following and the accepting. It wasn't, you know, bashed over your head out of fear or stipulations or, you know, do this or, you know, spend the rest of your life burning in a lake of fire. It was like he loved me so well and was so selfless that like I wanted that in my life.
And his love is what heals you, frees you. What
Jesus is supposed to be.
Yeah.
But also you can be that kind of person. You can be a moral person without believing in Jesus. Elise is a moral person, but she doesn't believe in Jesus. My husband is a moral person who doesn't believe in Jesus. Like, I mean, he's a doctor. I mean, he helps people for a living and he doesn't believe in Jesus. Like, I mean, you can have these same exact values in your life every single day, forever and ever, for all of eternity, and not believe in Jesus a single day.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're done?
Oh, I got nothing. I'm not doing nothing with this.
I just thought.
You're not doing anything with this?
I don't. This is not my sex episode. But it's fine. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Are we going to put this episode out?
You could take the first 15 minutes.
A like religious, like a difference of opinion.
I really like your view, topic,
but it's not the like.
Sex. I really like the differencing in opinions, like what you think we missed out on puts a lot into perspective. I think like when Marcus had that conversation with me, I was like, yeah, that really fucking sucks. Like I'm a fucking idiot. Y'all listen, Christians listen. Y'all missed out on a lot of good sex. That's what I'm going to say. Tell them, Christians, what they missed out on.
Period. So we ran a little long on this one and we'll do another part to that. But thanks for listening. And I'd like to say thank you to Kate and Kay for joining us on this one. And we are sponsored by Rose and Grace. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram. The upcoming book, Love Her, Leave Her Wild by me. Never Alone at North. Go give them some love on Instagram. And Dear Mom, an organization that supports mothers of children with Down syndrome. And go give them some love on their social media as well. And don't forget to go to our website, www.loveherleaveherwild.com. That's all one word. And submit questions, topics you want covered, secrets, funny dating stories. And until next time, we'll catch you guys later.